You've downloaded a sermon from the King's Church based in the city of Portsmouth in the United Kingdom. This sermon was recorded in our evening service and the speaker is Gareth Benton.
Well, good evening. It's really good to see you all. For those who don't know me, my name is Gareth, part of the leadership team here at King's. Let's pray. Am I wonderful? Thank you. Thank you for that encouragement. Lord, we just thank you that you are in the business of changing people's lives. We thank you for the changes that you're bringing into Nina's life and into Kirsty's life. We thank you for the changes that you brought into our lives. And I just want to pray for anyone here tonight who just may feel that you are you're distant, Lord. Maybe that you're not able to help them. Maybe there are people here tonight who have never really met with you. Lord, I pray that you will help them. Thank you, Kirsty. We pray that you will help them just to understand just how amazing you are, Lord Jesus. Just how amazing you are and how you want to touch every person's life in amazing ways. Amen. Well, I don't know if you've noticed, but there is this tiny little film coming out, or has just come out, from a backwater place called Hollywood. Two chaps, you probably haven't heard of them. I think one's called Spielberg, the other Lucas. Indiana Jones is back! He's back! 20 years. Plastic surgery, bit of working out, and he is back. Apparently, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull made $60 million at the US box office last weekend. But who remembers the original? Okay, I'm feeling very nostalgic tonight, so we've got a clip. I had to have a clip. It's a bit too long, really, but I just love it so much. It's awesome. Da-da-da-da. There he is. Woo-hoo. Fantastic, who remembers? Woo-hoo. We're excited about Lost Ark and Jesus as well. Fantastic, who remembers when that came out? And watching that, that was just an awesome film. Apparently the new one's pretty pants, I've heard it. Has anybody seen it? Anybody seen it? Has it? That's because you like Harrison Ford, isn't it? Well, we can pray for that later. Anyway, moving on. Here are some unknown facts. Some unknown facts. Well, unless you came this morning, because you're hearing them again. Some unknown facts about Raiders of the Lost Ark. Apparently, Tom Selleck. Tom Selleck, you know who Tom Selleck was? Hairy chest, Magnum PI. He was George Lucas's original choice for the role of Indiana Jones. But he had to turn it down because he was doing Magnum PI. The famous scene where Indy faces a guy with the sword and he's doing all this. He gets out his gun, pow, and he's dead. Apparently, there was this big fight scene sort of mapped out for that part of the movie, but rumour has it that Indiana Jones had piles and he didn't want to do the fight scene. So he came up with the thing at the last minute. Very good. Good idea. Now, third little unknown fact. Renowned British wrestler. I don't think those words go together somehow. Renowned British wrestler. And Auf Wiedersehen Pet star Pat Roach. Has anybody got anyone? Who is that? Never heard of him. Is he the bald big guy? Yeah. But apparently he was killed twice in Raiders of the Lost Ark. And he was really unlucky because not only is he a British wrestler, which is pretty unlucky in of itself, but also he was killed as well in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Now, what's all the business about Raiders of the Lost Ark? Well, we've been doing some stuff on the Old Testament, and we've been looking at the Israelites, and we've been looking at some really amazing things that God was doing with the Israelites. And when you read about the Israelites, there's this very, very critical bit of furniture that keeps cropping up. And it is the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant. And tonight, what I want to talk about is I want to talk about covenants, because it's amazing tonight that we've baptized Kirsty and Nina. And when they gave their lives to Jesus, they were entering into a covenant relationship with him. Now, that may mean nothing to you whatsoever. Well, hopefully by the end of the talk tonight, you know a little bit about covenants. It's interesting. We were looking last week. You may not know the story. You may know it. But the Israelites, they crossed the River Jordan. They came into this new land. There was new things that God was doing. And one of the first things that they did is they remembered the covenant that they had with God. And also, they did a very painful thing, circumcision. Circumcision was a mark of the covenant. They just really set aside some time to remember that they were in this covenant relationship with God. That was their priority. That was their first thing that they did. Because first things, it's important that we get the first things first in life. Let me give you an example. And this is just some questions out there, okay? To see if you are doing things correct in the morning, if you're doing the right things as the first things. The first thing, when you come out of the shower, have a think about what you do. Do you grab a towel and dry yourself? Is that the first thing that you do? Or do you walk around the house stark naked and air dry? Okay? So, who is A? Who is A? You grab the towel. Yeah, you see, that's normality, really. Now, do we have anybody who's brave enough to admit that they walk around that... Thank you, Isaac. I've got a feeling you might be the second thing on all of these. So Isaac has clearly got his order right. You're not doing the first thing first. You dry yourself off. That's what you do. Right, the second thing is... Oh, yes. When you put on your blouse, when you put on your blouse, Martin, yeah, or your shirt or your T-shirt, do you put the thing on first and then slap your deodorant on? Very strange. Or do you first of all put the deodorant on and then put your blouse on or your shirt on? Yeah. Yeah. Who does the deodorant first? Yeah. Normal? Yeah, normal? Isaac, you're going to tell me that you do? You put your shirt on and then deodorant. Anybody else put your shirt on and then deodorant? That's all the wrong way round. Oh, the wrong way round. No. First things first. You gotta put your deodorant on first. I'm sorry to be controversial. This could be heresy. First things first, put on your deodorant and then put your top on. Now, here's a really strange one. When you come to putting on your footwear, do you go sock, shoe? What's all that about? Or do you go sock, shoe, shoe? Sock, shoe, shoe, yeah? Yeah? Any shoe socks? Did he? Okay. Well, we're going to have a ministry time after church. Because clearly you people are not getting the first things first. And, you know, we believe here at the King's Church that it's critical in life to get the most important things sorted out first. Two incredibly important days in my life. The first day that I was born. The second day was the day when I realized why I was born. The day that I realized I was born to come into a covenant relationship with God. That's the first most important thing in life. Jesus, when he was asked, what is the most important thing in life? He said, to love God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. He said, loving God is the most important thing. So we're going to just look at some, very quickly, we're going to look at some things about this covenant relationship that Nina and Kirsty and others have entered into with Jesus. The first thing is that a covenant relationship is a lifetime commitment. Have you ever heard that phrase, blood is thicker than water? What does that mean? What do you think that means?
Well, you see, Gareth, blood is thicker than water.
Shit, we've got some people in London here tonight, so I thought I'd just throw in a bit so they can understand it. Although they're going all posh now, aren't they, with Boris? Yes. All posh. Ha, 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 ha. Did you know Boris came to Portsmouth? He said our city was useless. He got in so much trouble. He would not win a mayoral election here. Anyway, I digress.
blood is thicker than water. What that means, Gareth, is that the blood going through my body, it's thicker than water. In it. It is. It's just thick stuff. It's really thick stuff. It's thicker than water. Well, what water are we talking about here? You know, what water? Any water? Tap water?
Yeah.
Now, you see, what we've done is we've taken that little phrase and we totally turned it on its head. Because what we think it means is that in a family relationship, okay, you've got the same kind of blood running through your body as your brother, your sister, your mother, your father. So we think it means the blood is thicker than water. That blood, family relationships are stronger and more powerful than non-family relationships. So if you come and beat up my brother, oh, I'm going to beat up your brother because blood is thicker than water. Well, actually, it doesn't mean that at all. Blood is thicker than water. It actually means the water of the womb. And what it's saying is that the blood of a blood covenant, which is the type of relationship that we have with God, that blood is more powerful, more binding, it's a more committed relationship than even the relationship that you can have with your own mother, the water of the womb. Blood of a blood covenant is thicker than even the water of the womb. Jesus put it like this, if you lost. I am a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Family is a little bit strange in that my two daughters and son, they didn't choose me. They just got me. How fortunate for them. Let's pray for them now. You know, they popped out, they shot out. Woo! If anybody tells you that the women do all the work at labour, they are lying. I'll tell you what, when Audrey gave birth, she nearly snapped my hand off. I mean, I was like in positions that, you know, God didn't intend me to be in. It was just dreadful. Anyway, what am I talking about? Oh, I thought you'd left. Anyway. I don't know what I'm going on about now. Okay, so Eli, Ella, Abigail, my children, they did not choose me. They just have me. You know, we got the same blood running through our body, but they just got me. This is the amazing thing, is that Jesus, he chooses us. He chooses us. Sometimes you hear people give their story of how they became a Christian, and they say, the day I found Jesus, the day I chose Jesus. And, you know, I think there's some truth in that, and I know we know what they're saying, but here's the bigger truth, that Jesus chose us. Jesus chose us. Think about your life for a moment. Think about your secrets. Think about the things that only you know about because you're just so ashamed of those things. Here's the thing that God would say to us tonight, is I see all that stuff. I see all that rubbish. I see all that sin, and I still choose you. You are important to me. Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Covenants were needed because of strengths and weaknesses. Now, I'm going to need some volunteers right now. I think Sam and Pancho have volunteered very kindly. Where are you? Yeah, okay. Right. So, let's just imagine that... Can we stand on the stage, yeah? Because we want people to see you. Sorry? Oh, he knows what's coming. Let's just imagine that, you know, Sam and Pancho, they're living 4,000 years ago. And they're different. Sam has a strength. And it's clearly he's ripped, he's buff. He could do some British wrestling if he... Maybe not, anyway. He's powerful when it comes to his physical strength. Now, Pancho has a strength. He's got it going on up here. He's intellectual. He's got an IQ of 458. He's sharp. He's quick. Okay? Now, here's the thing. Is that if you're living a long, 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 long time ago, it's around 3,000-4,000 years, you're worried about your safety. It's a pretty violent culture. So, Pancho would be worried, quite simply, that Sam's going to come round to his house and beat him up. He's worried about this. He's concerned. He's got acting going on now. You're not getting paid, you realise that? Yeah. Okay. So, you know, he's just worried that this Pat Roach type figure is going to come around and beat him up. Whereas, Sam's a little bit concerned that through his mind and his sharp thinking, that Pancho is going to come up with a plan that is going to just, you know, bring disaster into his life. He's worried about this. So, they have strengths and they have weaknesses. Sam, he's buff, but mentally, you know, there's not much going on. Pancho, he's it's all going on up there, not much going on down here. Right. So you see, here's the thing. If Sam and Pancho, if they looked the same, if they thought the same, if everything about their lives was identical, they wouldn't need a covenant because they would just be in agreement. They would just be the same. They wouldn't need to enter into a covenant because, hey, I'm like you. You're like me. Let's get on. We're fine. But because of their differences, they would enter into this blood covenant and they would be saying to each other, I agree not to take my strength and abuse you. I agree not to take my strength and overpower you. Let's enter into a blood covenant. And we must protect each other. We must help each other. We must stand for each other. And if we break this agreement, because it's a blood covenant, if we break this agreement, we deserve to die. That's what a blood covenant is. Now here's the amazing thing, is that God wants to enter into a blood covenant relationship with us. So God, that doesn't work. So God, who is all powerful, all knowing, all wise, God doesn't have any needs. There's nothing that we can add to God. He is just totally complete. He reaches out to us in our weakness. And he says, you're special. I love you. I want to be in a relationship with you. I mean, what does God get out of that? He gets Pancho. I mean, you know. He gets me. He gets you. What do I have to offer God? You see, this relationship that we have with God, it's not based on my strength. It's not based on my abilities. It's not even based on my love. It's totally dependent on God. That's awesome. Thank you, chaps. Let's give them a round of applause. And all God is looking for tonight in you, if you want to know him better, he's not looking for cleverness. He's not looking for strength. He's not looking for goodness. All he's looking for is humility. Humility and hunger. He's looking for people who are humble enough to say, God, I need you. Who are hungry enough to say, God, I need you. You know, when my kids were born, when they were hungry, you knew about it. You knew about it. They would wake you up in the middle of the night. They would drive you nuts if they were hungry. They would not let you sleep because they'd be crying out, I'm hungry. And the Bible tells us we've got to come to God like a child. And I think within that, we need to say, God, I'm just crying out for you. I need you. I absolutely, desperately need you. I've got nothing to offer you but myself. And that's what God wants. There's only one thing that you can give to God. And that is yourself. Just as you are. The third thing about covenants is that people within a covenant protected each other. We talked about that a little bit. When I entered into a covenant relationship with my wife, there was part of that that I was agreeing to protect her, that she was agreeing to protect me. I looked on this, it's quite funny this, I looked on a little website and it was talking about how we as men can protect our wives. So it gives you points for various things. So if you're in bed, you know, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and there's a noise, and the wife begins to freak out, or she begins to freak out. Okay, if you, as the husband, if you check out the suspicious noise, you get 2 points. That's good. If you get out of bed, you know, you check out the noise, that's good. If you check out the suspicious noise and it's nothing, you're back down to 0 points, because really, you're not reassuring your wife, okay? What you need to do, you need to make up something, basically. So if there's a noise, and you just say it was a bit of card flapping in somewhere, the window, it's fine, don't worry about it, okay? Just make something up. Because if you go back and say there's nothing, then she's just like, well, no, it's got to be something. Okay. If you check out the suspicious noise and it's something, that's 5 points. Very good. Now, if you check out the suspicious noise, it's something, and you pummel it with a golf club, that's 10 points. That's very good. And if it's her father, he's staying over, and you pummeled him with a golf club, you're back down to minus 10 points. That's not good. There's a thing within us as men that, you know, we want to protect our wives. I'm sure for you who are wives, there's ways that you want to protect your husband. That's a covenant relationship. And do you know what? God wants to protect us. God wants to protect us. There may be things in your life that you are just so deeply struggling with right now. God wants to come and bring his help and his protection. He wants to bring his power into that situation. And that's awesome, because there are so many times when we need God. Finally, a covenant breaker was punished by death. When you go into a court, you raise your right hand and you say, I swear, what do we say? I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth. And that, you bunch of criminals, you've been there, haven't you? What's going on? Why do we raise our right hand? Well, actually, it's thought that people raise their right hand because the mark of the covenant was a mark in the palm of the hand. Like, you know, a knife would be dragged across the palm of the hand, it would bleed, and then there would be a scar there. And it became a bit of a source of pride. I've got a covenant with this person over here. See, the mark of the covenant. Blood would flow because, as I said, if somebody broke a blood covenant, they deserved to die. That was the agreement that was entered into. Now, our relationship with God is incredible because he says to us, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to help you. I'm committed to you. I love you. And if I break any of my promises, if I do anything wrong, if I just put one step out of place, I deserve to die. But if you muck up, if you make mistakes, if you let me down, God says, do you know what I'll do? Do you know what I've done? I've already sent my son, Jesus, to die on a cross to be a punishment for your mistake. What a great deal. What a great deal. That God is totally dependent. I'm a flake. And yet God forgives me in my flakiness because Jesus has died for me. There are three things we find incredibly difficult to say. I've got to prepare myself. I wrote them down in my notes. I've got to brace myself because I don't find it easy to say these things. The first thing is one word. Sorry. 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 Second thing. I was wrong. I was wrong. And the last thing is, heh. sorry, I was wrong, and I need help. They're the three things that we need to say when we come to God. God, I'm sorry, I was wrong, and I need your help. A while ago, I heard about this little thing that a dad did, and I thought it was great, and I tried it a few times, it's awesome. When you get home, when you've got three kids, it's like you walk through the door, and it's great, because the kids go berserkers, and they, Dad, you're home, and they come and grab you, and all that kind of stuff. Well, this guy, so what he did was, he would get through the door of his home, and he would say this. He would say, Mummy gets the first kiss. And it becomes a game then, because the kids then are all trying to kiss you before you get to Mummy. And I tried it a couple of times. Awesome. You come through the door, and they're saying, give us a hug, Dad. And you say, no, Mummy gets the first kiss. And you're trying to get over to your wife, and the kids are on to one on each hand, one on the legs, and all trying to kiss you and everything. And you pretend you're struggling, but you're not really. And you just get over there, and you give Mummy a great big kiss. I thought about that, and I thought, you know, for some of us, you know, the first thing, the most important thing, is that we have this relationship with God. That is the, even in marriage, in a family, the most important relationship actually is between the husband and the wife. If you get that right, hey, things flow into place. So our most important relationship is our relationship with God. But as we go through life, there are these other things that can detract us. And they're not always bad things. They can be good things. They can be very good things. But you know what? The moment they get in between us and God, they become a bad thing. And God is challenging us to say, the first, most important thing is our relationship with Him. Let's not have other things that get in the way. But let's just come to God and say, God, we need you so much that we're going to make you a priority. Everyone just close their eyes for a moment. I'd just like to pray for some people tonight. We don't want to embarrass you. It's not why we're here. We want God to touch your life and to do incredible things. And we just want to give you an opportunity to respond to how God's been speaking to you. So maybe there are some people here that you never feel that you've come into this relationship with God. You've never said those three things. God, I'm sorry, I was wrong, and I need your help. If there's anybody here tonight who would really like to make that step, who would like to say those things for the first time, can I ask you to do something? Can I just ask you to look straight at me? And just catch my attention, and I want to pray for you. I'm not going to pray for you by name, but it's good to let somebody else know that you're making that step. Is there anybody? I'm just going to look around. Just catch me in the eye. Yeah, thank you. Anybody else? Yeah. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Looking to my left now. Anybody over here? Yeah, do you want to? Okay, great. Okay, in the middle section, anybody? Yeah. Okay. And then to my right, anybody over here who haven't seen already? Okay. What I'm going to do is I'm going to lead us in a prayer and like everybody to pray this. And I really believe that as you pray this, that God's really going to touch your life. He's going to do something amazing for you. In fact, let's all stand together. Why don't we change the position? Let's stand up. The band are going to come. They're going to lead us in a song after this. But let's just pray this together. Father God. I think we do a bit better than that, can't we? Let's try that again. Father God. Thank you that you are interested in me. More than that, that you are head over heels in love with me. You made me. You have a plan for me.
You have dreams for my life. Tonight I want to commit myself to you. I want to say sorry for the things that I've done wrong. For my selfishness. My pride. My lust. My greed. I say sorry for all the things I put in front of you. I want you to be the most important person in my life. I want to love you with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind, and all of my strength. Lord Jesus, come into my life tonight. Make me a new person. Set me free from the old things. Fill me with your Spirit. I'm going to live for you from today on. Amen. Amen. Let's give a round of applause for the people maybe who've prayed that for the first time. Now, here's the really brave thing. If you prayed that tonight and you really meant it, I would like you to have a chat with somebody. It may be somebody that you came with, who usually comes to church. Just tell them what you did tonight. If you don't, you know, you came with a group of people, you don't know anybody comes to church, come and have a chat with me or Martin, who led the meeting. That's going to be the really brave thing that you're going to do tonight. Do you know what? Jesus did a brave thing for you. He left heaven, he came to earth, and he died on a cross for you, and he rose again. That took bravery. And I just want to encourage you tonight to be brave for him. So I encourage you to take that step.
Thank you for listening. For more information, go to www.kingschurchportsmouth.co.uk.